Ho, ho, hold your horses.
Ho, let's ho, slow it down. Hostess cereals. Sorry.
Ho, ho, hostess cereals. Let's slow it down a little bit. It's the empty bowl. You look really agitated, and I think it would be too forward for Dan and I to offer you a back rub. We don't know each other that well, but maybe we could offer you a sort of oral back rub. If that sounds worse, I meant a URA. It's this podcast about cereal. It's the empty bowl. I'm a cereal appreciator known around these parts as Justin Tyler McElroy.
I am serial journalist, self-proclaimed at least, Dan Goubert. No middle name, actually. Nobody ever believes me, but it's true.
Wow, that's fascinating. Dan, I was all looking forward to learning it.
I'm just the empty middle name.
Serialously.net is Dan's website.
That's the one.
You can go there and read his reviews of cereal, his news, what have you. This here, though, is a podcast that is designed for you to relax. It is just 20 minutes or so of myself and Dan talking about cereal. We have some nice ocean sounds, some chill music. We're just going to relax. All you have to do for the next few minutes is close your eyes and think about cereal. Now, Dan, you suggested a story here, a new line called High, or Happy Inside Cereals. And I had not, this is news to me, I had missed this. What are the Happy Inside Cereals?
Well, it's really a rare case of something we don't get to talk about often in the cereal community, and it's things that don't live up to the hype. It's almost exciting when things don't provide the excitement that you can already tell from, like, Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch or something that already sounds exciting. But High Happy Inside, a very cinematic title from the very forefront, is being hyped up by Kellogg's for all of its sort of probiotic components and all the promoted gut flora. I saw them. There was a lot of PR stunts about it, but the comments that I've received, at least in my circle, which I recognize is probably different from Kellogg's main audience, was definitely not excitement, and a lot of people who were, like, countering the science behind it. Yes. I don't really know anything about the comings and goings of gut flora, but some people just weren't happy with, I guess, the more basic flavors, the fruity sort of standard mix that we saw, and all kinds of just, I guess, flavorful bacteria?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Dan, if you can taste the bacteria. I'm not sure that's the design of the product, but I think it's great to be able to use the bathroom, for sure. I think we can all agree on that. It is good to use the bathroom. I'm not sure that that's necessarily something I need to target with cereal. I know Jamie Lee Curtis feels very strongly that her special yogurt helps her to do the bimbo, and that seems to be working for her. So I'm not sure if maybe we can extend that to cereal, I guess. I don't know.
I think just what I find a little bit insidious about it is the phrasing of the title. It's high and then happy inside. So is this just sort of happiness proclaiming that it's inside of you right now? It's like, hi, this is happiness inside at the scene of your large intestine. Or I'm just trying to read this name in different ways to sort of soften the blow of what's going to hit my gut.
Yeah. You'll need a distraction to ponder while you're in there. Something to think about while this cereal makes you use the potty.
You can see when a cereal's really sort of trying to overpromise something when you saw the cost of this one as well. Like, you can only get it in, like, bulk packs of cups or, like, big old pouches, and it's... Both options, I believe, are over $10 and only at specific stores. So there aren't really that many places that you can be happy inside, even if you wanted to. But probably not happy inside your wallet either.
I will say, though, they look really good. The one that you featured here on the website in your top art is the blueberry boom boom. No, sorry, bold Bold Blueberry, and it looks like one of my favorites, the blueberry, not blueberry muffin tops. That was the very excellent Molto meal product.
That and was also their most requested to come back, I'm told.
Really? Blueberry Morning. Blueberry Morning. I love that. Love that one. It looks kind of like that. It looks like Blueberry Morning. I don't know. Dried blueberries are underused in cereal, I think. It's a very delicious combination.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant about dry cereal fruit pieces in general just because of the sort of chew bomb that they interject into every spoonful.
My wife is a physician who has a lot of thoughts about probiotics. I asked her if this was real. She said that probiotics are real and helpful, prebiotics to a lesser extent. The fiber is good, I guess, but I don't know if cereal is the best delivery mechanism. So on this last point, she's obviously wrong. I think that any medicine I can get delivered to me via cereal is a win. That's where I'm at.
That's true. Maybe Fruity Pebbles will come out with a line of Flintstones gummy vitamin cereal as well.
I'd love penicillin pebbles. I also saw that, and this one actually got circulated pretty liberally. General Mills is, I can't even say it, Dan. Can you say it, Dan? I can't say it.
General Mills is trying to start a monster cereal cinematic universe, is what the headlines proclaim. So, it kind of all started when people started noticing a giant sort of overtly sexy Frankenberry billboard that popped up in Los Angeles, New York,
one of the big places. Probably
major cinematic paradises. That makes more sense. But, you know, that's shocking in itself, enough to cause squealing breaks, among other squealing things. But it also had a URL on it, and it was workwiththemonsters.com. And if you go to that website, it's a very official and corporate-looking site, sort of very loosely talking in the standard Count Chocula-ese that we'd come to expect from other material. But it's sort of a proposal to filmmakers and other creatives to design a monster cereal movie plot and then work with the iconic brand icons themselves to bring it to life. So there's kind of an open email. I've read others... sources that said there are already hundreds of entrants into it, so it just leaves me to wonder what we might make out of a monster cereal movie.
I feel like, if you look at the sort of the basic DNA of the monster cereals, back when they were calling the marshmallows Sweeties. So way back in the day, it was very much a competition between the three monsters as to who liked, whose cereal was enjoyed the most by children. I'm not sure that would play, three grown monsters arguing about who has the most delicious Sweeties to children. I'm not sure that that would be ideal. It would seem weird to bring breakfast into it at all, and it would seem weird to leave breakfast out of it. Both options, both the binary option of cereal breakfast themes or no breakfast themes are both equally unpalatable to me.
It's the classic Crunch 22 that I like to talk about.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
But I, on the other hand, I'm guessing this might even be a submission that's probably already in there, but because I'm sharing it here, I believe I'll probably get credit for it if they make it, because it's just too good. Would be literally just The Breakfast Club. There's five characters. There are five monsters if you count fan favorites, Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy. And if you bear with me, I bet we can align them all to specific characters, because we have Fruit Brute, the typical teen wolf, flannel-wearing tough guy, you know,
that's
bursting out.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Emilio Estevez. I feel like Booberry has to be Ally Sheedy, right?
I was gonna go with Booberry being more of the nerd because he's literally wearing a pork pipe hat in the era of like the post fedora death era. timeline. So he's got to be made fun of pretty strongly.
I grant you that. Who gets Yummy Mummy in that case?
I mean, Yummy Mummy's already sort of pink, very flamboyant about the dress, so I can see a very posh interpretation. Maybe Count Chocula, if Tim Curry wants to reprise his role as the Transylvanian.
Sure, that would be excellent. I think the best thing about this story is that the website and this whole pitch makes it seem like they don't know anybody makes movies.
Honestly.
It's just like, do you make movies? Do you know someone who makes movies? Should these guys be in movies? I don't know.
Yeah, they're just kind of testing the waters of viability. They're just hoping for like an email from maybe a Steven Spielberg or a Michael Bay just saying, no. Try
I don't
again.
I think this is anything.
Try a mobile game instead.
Now see, that would be very good. I'd play that.
You know there'd be so many like SOG tokens though. That's how they get the microtransactions.
I was very intrigued by your review for this week, Dan, because I've never heard of this brand before, so hopefully that's something you can shed a little light on for me. It's Millville Snickerdoodle Cookies with a K. Weird, thank you.
Cookies.
Millville Snickerdoodle Cookies Cereal.
Yeah, this was definitely sort of a dark horse contender for this holiday season because Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch, again, made all the big headlines for coming back from its brief hibernation.
Delicious.
While nobody was noticing, Millville, which is an Aldi store brand, which I later found out is like a fifth-level puppet corporation of like a different half-extinct cereal company that's now being like half reanimated by some other corporate partnership. It's just all these layers of trying to understand who Millville is. But that doesn't really matter when you consider that this is an Aldi store brand cereal that is this first true snickerdoodle cereal that we've seen. Anyone in their left or right mind would expect it from Cookie Crisp, but not from sort of these bug-eyed, anthropomorphized little powdered discs that just really have stolen my heart this December.
What are we looking at flavor-wise?
So yeah, it definitely looks like a piece of Cookie Crisp without sort of the chips and instead sandblasted with just this amazing auburn sugar cinnamon coating that really infuses into the more accepting base that really, hoists the cinnamon flavor on its shoulders to produce something that's not unlike a flavor-blasted cinnamon Teddy Graham. And that's such a high compliment.
That's amazing. How does it texturally hold up to like a Cookie Crisp? Is it similar to like birthday cake Cookie Crisp, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, you can pretty much guess that if you've had birthday cake Cookie Crisp, that's the same base here, and that's kind of why that cereal wasn't as successful, because it lacked really that, you know, unique twist to it. So you've got the solid vanilla corn base, as you taste in any cake or cookie, and really it's only up from there, especially in milk, because where else would you put a cookie?
Fair. That's a good point, because the two were made to be together. I think this is so interesting to find unique store brands. I think a lot of people don't realize that the generics, if you prefer, the store brands, the white labels, whatever you want to call them, that they do their own original stuff too. It's not just copycat.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of been dormant for too long. You can't really except sort of the criticism that comes with being called crispy hexagons for too long.
Sure,
you can't just let them bully you. But yeah, maybe it's sort of a case like with the Moon Pie or the Steak'em Twitters that kind of just banter back, where like these companies don't feel like they have anything to lose. They might as well just throw whatever at the wall and see what sticks, whether that's spaghetti cereal or otherwise.
Do you think there's any chance of this cereal making its way to a bigger cereal manufacturer, so are getting called up to the majors, as it were?
It's crazy that you mentioned that, because someone did send me a picture of another Snickerdoodle Cookies cereal with almost the exact same spelled name, but from a different random obscure store brand called Bay Valley Foods.
Weird.
And it was at that moment that I started to uncover the grand conspiracy behind it. I'm in the process of writing up sort of an investigative piece on it, but the corporate webs and the spin-off shell companies and the money in the Swedish banks, you never know where you could see these Snickerdoodle cookies next.
Dan, this is our cereal. I mean, this is our cereal, the podcast. That will be,
man,
our cereal. Not our cereal,
there you
but
go.
Our cereal. Oh, God, what have I done?
I don't know how deep into the Millville Mafia you can get before you just sort of disappear altogether.
Now, I was extremely excited to see, we had picked something out of the mailbag. If you want to write to us, I think it's mail@bowl.rest, I believe is correct. You can reach us there. We read all the mail. We don't have time to reply to it or read it on the show, of course, but we love getting your emails. This one comes to us from Kyle, and it says, "Hi, Justin and Dan. It's the time of year where we offer baked goods and milk to the big guy. Rice Krispie treats with the red and green Krispies are great and all, but do you have any creative cereal substitutions that might make the marshmallow bricks more acceptable to Mr. Claus?" And it says, "Thanks, Kyle." What about you, Dan? Do you have any cereal-based baked goods for this time of year?
You know, I do. It's kind of an obscure one, and you kind of have to plan ahead if you really want to do it. But I think I might still have squirreled away from the summer some Cap'n Crunch's Beach Bash Crunch, which was sort of a very, very basic summer-themed reskin of Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with a really, ripped beach-going Cap'n Crunch on the front.
I love that.
The pectorals don't have anything to do with my answer, but the point is that Santa Claus, another white facial-haired fellow, much like Cap'n Crunch, I mean, you've seen the movies. The guy has to think about winter all the time. So, you know, he's just aching for that summer vacation every year. So you might as well just give him a taste of that local flavor, that local tropical flavor.
Of course.
You know, with a little bit of the Cap'n Crunch eye candy there as well, if you leave the box next to the bowl. But I think that would really give him a good escapism that he needs in that, scientific half second that they say he spends in each house.
Every time around this year, first off, I want to say two things. The first is, this time of year is perhaps most notable to me because I am incapable of going more than 20 minutes without singing the entirety of the Fruity Pebbles Christmas commercial. If you ever watched that one, it goes, "Season's greetings in our souls, yummy Fruity Pebbles in our bowls. Ho, 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 I'm hungry. Santa? My pebbles, your pebbles? 'Tis the season to be sharing, Fred. Happy holidays, pal." And that's the entire commercial. Aw, Fred. He also says, "Aw, Fred," at the end.
Tattooed on your forearm, I'm guessing?
It's tattooed on my mind. The other thing that I would like to suggest is one that my mom used to do this around this time every year. And it was a cornflake wreath. And not everybody does this, but I'm going to hit y'all with it real quick. So you do Rice Krispie Treat recipe, which you can look up anywhere. And instead of adding Rice Krispies, you add cornflakes. And with the cornflakes, actually right before the cornflakes, green food coloring. So you got a real bright green marshmallow goo, and then you add in the cornflakes, and you cover those with the bright green goo and shape it into a circle. And it's going to make a giant holly wreath that will be made of cornflakes. And then you can just use, for the berries, which you can kind of put all around the circle, you can do Red Hots if you want, but I think that's a little weird. The red M&Ms also work great. Or, yeah, I guess you could do gumdrops if you wanted to. Certainly seasonally appropriate. You can do one big one that you can cut into chunks, or you can do, you know, if you want a little bit more work, you could make them into small ones, individual wreaths, and put them on wax paper until they cool, and then you got a nice treat going. It looks really festive, and everybody loves it. It's delicious, and it's actually, the corn is actually a really good counterpoint to the marshmallow. I think in some ways it's a little bit better of a combination, but that is my Christmas recipe from our house to yours.
So my only question to that is then, can you upgrade from that, or does it become too much? Like, can you use frosted flakes instead of the corn flakes, or maybe even frosted flakes with marshmallows instead of the corn flakes?
See, frosted flakes with marshmallows. What color marshmallows are those? They're white, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I feel like those would look weird. I worry that the sugar would be too much. I mean, you wouldn't use frosted Rice Krispies in Rice Krispie treats, right? It's like you need that counterbalance.
Yeah, you can't spit in the face of God.
That's right, Dan. You can't spit in the face of God, and you can't make cereal bars with the wrong cereal. They're equal offenses in my book. Well, this has been delightful, as always. The next time, I'm not sure I'm doing the math correctly, but I think I am insane. The next time we join you all, will be our last episode of the year, I think. And I'm mainly excited about that because that means new cereals are just around the corner. Looking forward to January and getting those new Hostess cereals with like Honey Bun and Frosted Donut and maybe those Tropical Fruity Pebbles. Oh, Dan, I can't stop thinking about those, my friend.
Yep, didn't there's going to be a song about that one?
Maybe a little bit more of a tropical Jimmy Buffett kind of vibe. I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the return of Pop-Tart cereal. That's really going to be top of my mind come New Year's resolution time.
Your resolution to find and eat that cereal.
The more I eat, the easier it becomes for everybody else. Let's just say that.
The inverse is true, scientifically speaking, but I appreciate your position. Where can people find your work on social media if they want to do that, Dan?
Yeah, I am primarily active on Twitter at SeriallesslyNet. I always like to tweet hilarious Cap'n Crunch gifs. I like to, think of random cereal mixes. And maybe we can just have a little bit of a chat about badminton, Caddyshack, whatever else comes to your mind.
Perfect. Well, folks, thank you so much. If you could rate and review the show, that would be excellent on iTunes. If you'd like to donate, you can do that at bowl.rest. And we would sure appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do that. Money from that goes to help keep Seriously running and goes to a local food shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. So we're excited to be doing that. And we thank you for joining us here, and we hope you'll join us again next time. But until then, for Dan Gubert, I'm Justin McElroy saying, don't forget to drink the milk.